This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Wednesday, June the 9th, 2021. The show, as you've come to love, DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Take you up till 8 o'clock. That's when KJZ takes over. What do we have today? Oh, yeah, little Stump Rothenberg, 6:45. Buster Olney at 7:15. We'll get into the spin rate. We'll get into Garrett Cole, and that was unbelievable yesterday. I never want him if I'm an attorney on the witness stand. That was not a great look from him, but a couple things I want to get into today real quickly before we really start with the sports talk. And, of course, it is June the 9th. Chris Canty, good morning. 3 months from today, September the 9th, 3 months from the day. Do you know what that is?
It's the start of the NFL season?
That's correct.
Ooh. In the kickoff game, we got the Cowboys-Bucks.
We got the 0-1 Dallas Cowboys leaving the field against the Super Bowl champion Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is correct.
Dave, Ray Santiago just said you're almost guaranteeing a win for the Cowboys by touching the money 3 months out from the start of the season.
That's fine. I can go back and forth. I can waffle as we get closer. Today, I feel very confident in that football game. I don't have the Cowboys stop the Bucs, but that's not where I wanted to get to, Rick.
Okay.
Good morning, Rick. How are you? Who won MVP of the NBA yesterday?
Yeah, you're right. I actually got the checks all written out. Just got to know where to send it.
There we go.
I'll take the L on that one.
$250 to the kids.
Nice. That? We'll take it. We'll take it.
Yes. Does that go in my name? Is that on?
It
on
should
behalf
be
of,
donated no. on the behalf of Dave Rothenberg. It should be.
That wasn't in the initial deal.
No, it was not. But I think the right thing to do, the appropriate thing to do, would be to make it in my name to the Chris Canty Foundation.
Yeah. See if we can work one of those Jeff Bezos type tax write offs for Dave Rothenberg.
I'm not in the interest of helping Dave out. I'm helping the kids out. Dave won. I lost. I'll take it. But we all win because the kids get the $250.
Yes, right? But it could be a win-win, though. Like, the kids could win and Rothenberg could win. You could facilitate your teammates' greatness.
I'm all set. I'm good.
Yeah.
You see, Dave does a good enough job all for 3 hours doing that.
I'm just saying, if you put that goodwill out in the world, Rico, it might come back in the form of a Game 6 win for your Islanders. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm a little on edge with that. on edge.
Yeah. Well, you could put good karma into the world. You could make the check out to, the Chris Canty Foundation via Dave Rothenberg.
I'm good. I'm good. I don't think helping out a Ranger fan is going to help my Islanders tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, you know,
if it means that Utah wins, here's the thing, though. Here's where I struggle, because if it helps sports karma-wise with Utah winning the championship and the naked video being released, then that would be something I'd have to think about.
Well, it won't hurt sports karma-wise.
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to really think about it, because I have in no, especially on a Wednesday, it's Stump Rothenberg, where you'll just pontificate on how great you are for 15 straight minutes, because of course Stump Rothenberg gets the most time of all the segments. I don't need to do more to help you out.
Mm. Do you want to eliminate Stump Rothenberg? Is that what you want to do? Is that
no,
where you're going?
No. We're not doing that.
No, that's fine. Let's do it.
Rothenberg is appointment radio. See, I know what you're doing right now, Dave. You want us to want it. Like, you want us to beg and plead and tell you how much we love Stump Rothenberg. We're not going to do it. Nobody wants to get rid of Stump Rothenberg. Nobody even suggested that.
Well, you want it, let me give it to you properly. The way he talks about it, the negative connotation that he has with Stump Rothenberg, maybe he does want to move on from it. And if he does, and if he questions the legitimacy, then we'll move on from it. I don't need to do it.
I'm just asking for less pomp and circumstance. Like, I don't need you after every question how great you are. I mean, just answer the questions. Let's move along. And that's okay. All it has to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be, look at me, I'm 1-0, I'm the best.
I'm a big star, you know. Some questions are deserving of a little celebration. And if you can't handle that, then I don't know what to say.
No, I don't disagree, buddy. I mean, you're like the LeBron James of trivia. It's like you have to tell everyone how great you are. Like, let us tell you how great you are. You get a good answer right, then we'll say, oh, my God, I can't believe you got that answer.
All right, I'm willing to throw an olive branch out there with you today. I will say nothing. I will walk in like George at the Soup Nazi. I'll walk in. I'll place my order. I'll move to the end of the line. I'll get the questions right, and I will leave the store. However, in return, if I impress in any one answer, I want one of the two of you just to wax poetic. Oh, Dave, that's a job. What a job by you this morning.
You answer the question right. You answer the questions right, and Canty and I will provide the play-by-play on how great you are. How's
okay.
that?
Done.
That's how we'll work it. Just because, again, we all know. Everyone knows. Now, you're kind of tiptoeing that line between, like, this amazing confidence, and now you're kind of, like, almost on the other side of where you're getting a little cocky with this.
Because it's very difficult, and when I get answers correct, I'm very proud of myself. We'll get into that at 6:45 this morning. Yankees win. Got to be thrilled about that. Mets lose. That was a disaster, and they announced already that David Peterson will be making his next start for the Mets. But let's start with what went on with Gerrit Cole yesterday. He was asked about using the additional substance, the spider tack, I guess it's called, and the answer is just it was horrifying. How he had no idea that could potentially be a question is just a bad job by everybody around this situation.
You don't think going into that interview that he thought he was going to be asked that question?
Well, I think he should have.
He had to know he was going to be asked that question, Rico. He got called out by Josh Donaldson in the article from The Athletic. He had to know.
He knew how to answer it, though. If you use it, which he obviously does, and I told you that weeks and weeks ago where he goes into his glove for whatever the substance is. I mean, how do you answer that question?
You spin it forward. You don't acknowledge what happened in the past. You're saying this is something that Major League Baseball is trying to crack down on, something that they want to emphasize, and I'm going to be in compliance with the rules moving forward. Period. Hard stop.
That actually sounds a lot better. You're right.
Any answer is better if you don't have a five-second pause before you start talking.
Multiple pauses like that? And if he would have come out and said, you know what, I've used it for years, and I thought it was okay, and in fact, I think it was okay, but I'll never use it again.
No. Cannot say that, no.
It would have been better than what he did.
No, it would not have.
Yes, it would have.
No, it would not have. Because now we're just left to assume that he does do it. Canty's answer was the answer. Your answer was not the answer. Because now this has turned into sticky stuff. No, because now we're at a point where people are looking at sticky stuff, especially the spider tack and all these things that aren't suntan lotion and rosin, as cheating. So now you're going to be labeled a cheater. Because again, baseball puts you in a position that you're going to be looked at by fans as you're a cheater. Because now it's a problem for Major League Baseball. The wink, wink. Okay, you can use sticky substances because I'm not going to call you out because my pitchers are doing the same thing, has now turned into, we're going to make the baseball lighter. And of course, what happens? You know, lighter baseball and you can with a sticky grip, it's going to spin like crazy. And guys can't hit it. And now it's a problem because baseball is boring. So now we'll just heap all the blame on the players. The pitchers fall.
Rico, let me ask you this question, and I know that the pitchers have kind of taken it to the extreme by using this spider tack stuff, but didn't the hitters once upon a time want the pitchers to put a little something on the baseball just so they can improve control? They wouldn't have to worry about pitches coming at their head at 95 miles an hour. Like, didn't once upon a time in baseball, like, hitters like, yeah, we want the guys to put a little something on the baseball just to improve their command?
This has happened since baseball's existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like early in the season when it's cold out, or late in the season when it's cold out, is you want a guy to make sure he has, because there's so many new baseballs in play, that you want to make sure he has a grip of the baseball. Because when you're throwing that fast, God forbid, you know what I mean? Like, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have the guy know at least, you know, where the ball is going. It's now at a point where pitchers get smarter, and they're adjusting, and, you know, okay, if suntan lotion and rosin is good, you know, what potentially could be better? And now when they realize how much, you know, what the benefits of having this kind of spin rate is, and you're seeing it now. We talked about it yesterday. You know, if your ball, and if your four-seam fastball spinning, you know, better than 2,500 revolutions, then, you know, the batting average goes significantly down. I think it's 217, which is funny because that's on par with the average on Gerrit Cole's four-seam fastball.
Is that his number?
That's 218 on his four-seam fastball. So, yeah, and again, I mean, this is, the whole, like, the Patriots are the biggest cheater in sports. We may have to look at Houston as the biggest cheater in sports at this point.
Yeah. Every pitcher that goes to Houston, it completely changes. So we discussed Gerrit Cole. I'm sure you heard it yesterday, but there are probably some who did not. It is unbelievable. He was as ill-prepared for this question as I've ever heard anybody. I mean, there's probably, like, when you hear dead air moving forward, don't look at your radio. Don't look at your app. Don't adjust and say something has gone wrong. No. This is just Gerrit Cole hemming and hawing as he's asked the question about using SpiderTac. Here he is.
And have you ever used SpiderTac while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, you know, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
Oh, God, is that bad? Oh, my God.
Dave, Gerrit Cole found himself in one of those Jada Pinkett Smith entanglements with that question. Like, here's the thing. If you're going to address it in terms of what you did personally, don't pass the buck on the generation of players that came before you. Like, if somebody asks you a direct question, don't say, well, it's because of the customs and practices that came before me. You know, that's why I'm using, you know, the SpiderTac or the stuff that I'm enhancing my grip with on the baseball. It's because of the guys that played the game before me. That's why I'm using it now. Like, don't do that. Like, I just feel like that makes no sense. Like, if you're going to address what you did personally, then address what you did personally. But if you're not going to take any kind of accountability for what you did, then just try to spin it forward. That's the part that didn't make sense to me about his answer.
Well, I think part of it was he was pissed. He didn't answer the question right. But he was almost like, as he stopped,
pissed
then he went
what?
On to kind of. But
what,
then,
what
but,
is he pissed at?
Well, then he went on to kind of. He went on to defend it, because he knows what's coming. Like he's staring down what's happening right now. Is that he's been? I mean, he's been named three different times, and it's clear. I mean, he's doing something, and it sounds like by not answering, no, do you use SpiderTac? That it's SpiderTac is what he's using, or some kind of mix of those kind of substances. And the reason why he started it was because I'm sure when he got to Houston, Justin Verlander was doing it. And this is something that had never been a problem up until this point. And because we're now here, but you saw what happened with steroids too. It was the same thing. It was these blurred lines. Guys were doing it. Major League Baseball was complicit with it. And everything was fine. Guys were hitting home runs. Baseball was great. Chicks dig the long ball. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't do it anymore. And now everything that they had accomplished leading up to that point was now in jeopardy. Because now you're a cheater. And Gerrit Cole is going to be the face of that. Because God forbid he goes out tonight and has a bad outing and his spin rate's down again and everything else, he is going to be the face of this thing.
Yeah, but Rico, why are you throwing everybody else under the bus, though? That's the part that I don't get. I don't understand that. Like, you're being asked a direct question because other players around the league are accusing you of doing something. You don't then go back and say, well, there are so many other guys that did this before me. Like, that's kind of like with Kobe Bryant trying to deflect after being caught cheating on his wife. Like, well, Shaquille O'Neal is doing it. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, they're asking you a direct question. Either you're going to cop to it or you're going to try to deflect and just talk in generalizations about what Major League Baseball and the Players Association will try to do moving forward. Don't go back to yesteryear and say, well, yeah, these guys, because of their customs and practices passed down, you know, kind of created this culture where this is what you do. Even if that's the truth.
No, it is the truth. That is 100% the truth.
Even if that's the truth, you don't put the blame on them for you deciding that you're going to cheat. You don't.
Yeah, but he's trying. What I think he's trying to do is explain to people that don't really know, they're just going to jump on this and say that you're cheating, as to why this has been going on. I mean, they showed a Gaylord Perry quote last night where he was quoted as saying, "I go with substance on two different places. That way, in case I get caught with one, I still have the other one." Because it's unprofessional to have it's unprofessional to be out there with nothing on you.
It's been going on forever. I mean, you remember Joe Niekro with the nail file that he threw out of his pocket when they went to check him? I mean, Pineda with the stuff all over his neck. We've seen it forever. It's not an unusual thing. But the reaction, my question is, have the Yankees had no idea? Like, no one within the organization said, let's sit down and kind of practice when you're eventually asked about this, how you're going to respond? That's the way he came out and answered these questions was incredible to me yesterday.
Well, I think he's his own man. I mean, I don't understand going in that how you don't. Like, can't these answers the right answer? Like, I think for some reason in that moment he wanted to defend. Because he didn't deny it. He's clearly doing it. But he felt like he wanted to defend himself.
How can you defend yourself when you're cheating? How can you do that?
Because stop using the word cheating. Because it hasn't been cheating until now. It has not been considered cheating until now. Now it's cheating because they've drawn a line. It hasn't been cheating in baseball.
So during the steroid era, players that were taking PEDs, they weren't cheating?
They don't see it as that.
No, I'm just asking, but like by the letter of the law, would we define that as cheating or not? I mean, because I'm sure that there were guys that weren't taking PEDs during that time.
You know, but here's the thing, though, Chris. What you're misunderstanding, though, is this has been happening. Like this, the reason why, as a player, you get into situations like this is because there's a gray area. Because by rule, this is something that, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing. But there's a gentleman's agreement, is what they're calling it, between people in baseball, managers. Unless it's blatant, like Michael Pineda, our guys are going to do it, and your guys are going to do it. And if it goes unchecked for that long, guys are smart now. Like, they'll continue to find, I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, or whatever you want to call it, they'll find ways to get as many advantages as possible. So, oh, this sticky stuff is good. Well, let's try this stuff. Maybe this stuff is better. And now they've mastered it. And now it's made baseball unwatchable.
It is, because all it is.
How is this different than baseball juicing the baseball? Or now baseball trying to make the baseball not fly as far so guys can't hit as many home runs.
It's the same thing. You're manipulating the game of baseball.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Coco Gauff is in action, and she's up 3-love in the first set in the French Open. I mean, throw it on. Watch it as we talk this morning. What a treat.
How do we have four televisions in the studio and not one is on Coco Gauff right now?
That's the guys. I mean, that's obviously they're sending a message. They have no interest in tennis. None.
So disrespectful.
Yeah, right? RJ won't watch tennis in the studio when there's nothing on live, but he'll watch a soccer match.
Yes.
What channel is that
on, Dave? Party.
What channel is that
on, RJ?
It's the tennis channel, which I don't know what it is except for DirecTV. On DirecTV, it's 217.
We'll figure it out.
I mean, why don't you just put on the DirecTV one, 217?
I'm not sure we have DirecTV in here anymore.
You're talking about our studio, Dave. Come on. I mean,
pull back the curtain a little bit. I don't think we have DirecTV here anymore.
Took 48 hours to turn around a clip from the show. I mean, come on.
Well, anyway, she's up 3-love at the French Open. I'm shocked. I'm flabbergasted that you guys don't have it on the
French Open is wide open. Wide open right now.
Wide open. What do you think, and we'll get back to the Garrett Cole and the Yankees in a second. What do you think, because it got really very little discussion about Roger Federer just saying, you know what, I'm done. I'm not going to continue. He was healthy, worn down, decided he didn't want to continue playing. People had a big problem with that.
Why?
Because they said it's a major. If you're
healthy,
he
knows his body.
Play.
Well, he knows his body, and he's just coming back. And you know tennis. Of the four majors, which one is he least likely to win?
It's not close. There's no chance he was going to win. But I guess the point was, why take a spot and go on a run and go as far as you can with the matches you can win, and then when you recognize, you know what, I'm not going to win, bowing out and just retiring before
the match. Well, I don't think it's just bowing out. It's just, I mean, you're going in with the best of intentions, and then you see how your body reacts to it. And he felt like he probably wasn't recovering the way he needed to recover. And then he just got to a point like, why am I going to jeopardize the rest of my season? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, listen, I understand the rationale, but there, like, Patrick McEnroe was really upset by it. Very upset. A lot of, you know, real tennis aficionados and pros were bothered by the fact that he did that.
Yeah, but you don't know his body. That's the thing. I mean, would you rather him just not play in the French Open? Like, I mean,
I don't know, honestly.
What do you mean you don't know, honestly?
I don't know. than to win three or four matches and say, you know what, I'm feeling tired. I'm not feeling great. I know I'm not going to win. I'm going to bow out. I think that's a really bad look.
Dave, look at his age. He's coming off a couple knee surgeries. Like, he's trying to get himself back into shape. He went in hoping that he'd feel great, and it turned out that after the line, you know, he wins a couple and doesn't feel good.
Let me tell you, you're 39 years old. You're playing on the hardest surface there is. Matches go 4 or 5 hours routinely. You're not going to feel great.
Okay, but he wanted to see how he would feel. All and right. He obviously didn't feel great.
But how is it so unbelievable to you that there are people that were bothered by that?
Oh, yeah, that's what you want. You don't want one of the biggest stars in your sport to participate in the French Open.
Well, look, Naomi Osaka, you know, had issues, and they made sure to move on from her.
They didn't move on. She moved on.
She moved on because they forced her to move on.
Oh, because that's great. Yeah, that's great for their sport, too, when the two faces of your sport are no longer in the French Open. You may be the only one watching that match right now.
No. Candy has it on now, I'm sure.
I do have it on. The guys behind the glass got it done for me. See? Channel 360 at our studio, Dave.
360. It's good to know.
Yeah.
That's an awful take. Well, whoever's disappointed that Roger or mad that Roger Federer decided to take himself out of the tournament, that's an awful take.
Really?
That's an awful take. I guarantee you the guy didn't know going in, I'm going to play a couple matches, probably win them, and then just pull myself out.
I don't think he expected to win, you know, three or four matches, though. I think he was, that was probably surprising for him.
And he probably felt like, I mean, you just mentioned it. Do you know how old he is to be playing at the level that he's playing at?
Yes.
So on relax. Surface, the guy didn't feel great. Why am I gonna jeopardize the rest of my season when I know I don't feel good?
No one else can have like a differing opinion though.
Because it's a stupid opinion, especially from a professional, like a former professional athlete, to sit there and tell Roger Federer how he feels.
No one's telling you how you're supposed to feel. But well, if you went on a little run, you weren't going to feel great at the French Open.
Yeah, but you don't know how your body's going to react. You have no idea until you do it.
It's like saying if you're in a best of seven hockey series through six games, you're a 39-year-old goalie. Are you going to feel great at the end? No, you're not going to.
Dave, if I'm healthy and I don't feel great, I'm going to battle through it. If I'm coming off an injury and multiple surgeries, and it's, I mean, look at the environment you're in too, like the level of intensity. It's a major, and I don't feel great. Why would I jeopardize having to now all of a sudden hurt myself more? You wouldn't.
Well,
it's not apples to apples, your comparison.
Then come out and say I'm hurt.
Well, I mean, isn't that just assume that he doesn't feel great coming off of surgery?
Well, then why play at all?
Because at some point he's going to have to play, you dummy.
He doesn't have to have the test run in a major.
Dave, he's got that luxury. He's Roger Federer.
All right. Well, there are people that didn't like it, and it's not just me. There's people that didn't like it. All right.
So you wouldn't want, say... You know, all of a sudden, you name the player, has been in, you know, like, no, James Harden. Oh, I can't. Why would he try to come? Why would he come back now? And he's hurt. Like, so you don't want James Harden. Like, if James Harden comes back and he plays in a couple games, and then all of a sudden his hamstring tightens up a little bit and he pulls himself out.
But that's not what he said. He just said he's not feeling all that well.
Yeah, which is insinuating that the surgeries don't, like, he's not back yet.
I don't know. If it's a game six of the NBA Finals, I expect James Harden to go give it a try.
Yeah, that worked out for Kevin Durant really well.
Mm. But we're not in that situation.
Oh, we're not?
No, we're not.
Well, we're not. Chris, let me ask you a question. Hmm. You're coming back from surgery, right? Like, and you're not fully back yet, and you're playing, and all of a sudden you feel like crap. Well, I mean, is that not the most, like, the most jeopardy you'll put yourself in?
No question about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
No question about it.
All right, so everyone else is wrong, and you're right.
No, I think what Rick is saying is that nobody can tell the athlete how he feels. Nobody can tell the athlete where his body's at. And if he's in a situation where he feels like he's going to risk re-injury, then he's going to shut it down.
I guarantee you, if this is Wimbledon, he finds a way to play in this match. Guarantee you. So because it's an exhausting tournament, he's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. And he knows that he has really no chance of winning it. I'm not going to push forward. I'm not going to do it. I can't beat Djokovic on this surface. I can't beat Nadal on the surface. So I'm going to bow out.
Yeah, but you're making two different comparisons. It's exhausting. You just said it. Yeah, which is different. So if he's in Wimbledon and he's just breezing through and his body feels great, he's going to keep going. If all of a sudden his body starts to break down and he's like, oh, man, I think he'll push through.
There's a better chance that he pushes through at Wimbledon than he did now. All right, let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Scotty in Bergenfield. Good morning, Scott. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know what? This whole cheating, you know, this whole cold thing drives me crazy. It's like the steroid era again. You know, these guys, they sign these giant contracts. You know, they start looking good and then they get caught cheating. What happens when he is, you know, gets caught cheating and then he's not as good? You still got to pay him $300 million, correct? I mean, it drives me crazy. You know, it happened when baseball, when guys were breaking down because they couldn't do the steroids anymore. Now he's going to start, what, just be an average pitcher for that money because he cheated for a couple of years?
You better hope not.
Well, there's got to be some kind of punishment. I'll just go. I'll let you go. Thanks, guys.
Well, a punishment to who? To Gerrit Cole?
To Gerrit Cole.
No, you can't retroactively impose some kind of punishment on Gerrit Cole. You can't do it. I think it's one of those things where moving forward, if you do it, then they're going to clip you. They're going to impose some kind of discipline. But you can't go back and fine the guy or suspend the guy for something that he did, you know, 2 or 3 years prior. So I don't see baseball being able to do that.
Because baseball has known the entire time. You had the Angels club. Gerrit Cole was texting the Angels club. You don't think anyone... There were pitching coaches telling pitchers, this is the stuff that you should be using right now. So baseball has known the entire time. And now it's become a problem.
And they're complicit in it. If they've known that there's nothing that they've done about it, then they're a part of it, just like they were with the steroid scandal. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. Now, moving forward, they're going to have to come to some agreement on how they're going to legislate putting substances on the baseball.
What you've done is you've incentivized guys because you're trying to get guys to hit home runs. And it got to a point where we saw it. I mean, there's no more steroids in baseball. Let's juice the ball. Guys are hitting home runs, and guys are getting paid big money to hit home runs. So now we start talking about exit velo and launch angle. And guys spend all offseason working on their launch angle. And pitchers are getting mashed. And what do pitchers do? Okay, if this is what you're going to do, then we're going to adapt. And now we're going to start pitching to places that you can't hit the baseball. So that's what the pitchers did. And what makes that even harder is that now we can spin the ball, you know, over 2,500 RPMs, which means the fastball doesn't sink. So the fastball's coming in, looks like it rides up. You can't hit it. So now, and we're going to make the ball lighter because you're hitting too many home runs. And now, which is only to the pitcher's benefit, now no one can hit. And now baseball sucks and it's boring and no one wants to watch it. So now midseason, we're going to adapt.
That's right. We're going to change the entire way that baseball's been played for years.
Like, you know,
so by
years.
Trying to solve one problem, baseball created another one.
Yeah, substances exactly right. On the baseball.
That's right. And Gerrit Cole is the poster boy for what's going on in the game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Now, you and I had a wager, correct?
James Harden's hammy let me down.
Wins the MVP. And the naked video is released for the world to see. I told you there's no way he's going to win the MVP. You argued. You battled. I got $250 for the kids, for the Chris Candy Foundation on the line. That is now done. James Harden did not win the MVP. In fact, he finished 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13th in the MVP voting. He received one fifth-place vote.
It was LeBron a landslide. James. It was what a landslide say? For Jokic.
Yeah, landslide.
But it would not have been, Rico, unless James Harden missed the amount of time that he missed. Like, I mean, we have not seen James Harden miss that amount of time in the regular season in his entire career.
Ever.
That's what it took for Jokic to secure the MVP.
No, I think he would have won it regardless, but that's not even...
No, if James Harden stays healthy, I think that conversation changes.
No, I do not believe that. But
I think it's different.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Well, we'll never know the answer.
Sure, but it's hypothetical. We'll never be able to prove it.
That's not even what really draws me to this conversation at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who finished ninth in the MVP voting in the NBA?
Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose received a first place vote from someone who was able to vote for the NBA MVP. Are you kidding me? That guy should have his privileges revoked. Are you kidding me? Derrick Rose was great, but the most valuable player great? Over Steph Curry, over Jokic, over Chris Paul, over Doncic. Come on, stop it. You got to be kidding me.
Hell, over his own teammate Julius Randle.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, Dave. We need to find that guy.
It's embarrassing.
No, but time out. It's not embarrassing.
Stop,
you know what?
It.
Okay. No, because this is typical of you, is that you see something and you don't do the research. Do you know where Derrick Rose's MVP vote came from?
I don't care if his wife voted for him to win MVP.
No, it was a consensus fan vote, Dave. It was a consensus fan vote.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Okay,
but
it's been part of the MVP voting process since 2010. But what it shows to you, and what it should highlight to a guy like Damian Lillard, is the power of New York and what it does. Playing for the Knicks.
I saw that the Knicks are the odds-on favorite for Damian Lillard if he's traded this offseason.
Oh, how delightful would that be?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So if he's traded, Knicks are the favorite to land him.
Yes.
You imagine Ricky Rosé and Dollar Dame in the booth?
Oof. Yeah, you'd have to get to work.
I mean, that would be special. Maybe have Rosenberg produce it.
Shout out to Rosenberg. Solid album. Solid album, by the way.
He does nice work, Rosenberg.
Peter Rosenberg.
I bust his chops, but he does nice work.
Yeah, solid album.
Talented.
I can't believe, you know what? I can't believe that Chris Paul didn't get more love for the MVP with where his team finished.
Yep. Well, he finished, what, fifth in the voting?
No, but I mean, I'm looking at first-place votes. He only got two first-place votes. Steph Curry had five, and Steph Curry had an unbelievable season.
He was great.
But his team stunk.
You know why, though, Rick. What Chris Paul does isn't flashy. He's just a winner, man. He does all the little things, all the intangibles that you would want from your leader, from your fourth-floor general. That's what he brings to the table, and sometimes it's hard to quantify that through the statistics.
Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't that? I mean, we're voting for the most valuable player, right?
Yeah, but we don't know what it is.
No, I mean,
we've been through this in every sport all the time.
Sticky substances, all this gray area. We don't know.
There's a lot of gray. There is, though. I mean, honestly, if you asked a voter right now, what do you vote for? You don't think you would have half the people say one thing and half the people say the other? Nobody knows what the MVP actually is.
No, because it becomes a narrative vote, like an agenda vote. Like, I think part of the reason why it was a landslide for Jokic is because people are so against load management and everything else, and he showed up every single night. I think that was part of it, too. Because I'll tell you what, the NBA can say whatever they want, and we'll see how the ratings and everything are going to be with this playoffs. But there can't be people in the NBA right now that are going to love if Brooklyn just rolls through this postseason and wins a championship.
Of course not.
That spits in the face of everything.
If they sweep Milwaukee or win in five, hammer whoever's next, and then beat the team in the NBA Finals in five games, which is a non-dramatic, non-exciting, it'll be awful for ratings. It'd be terrible.
Well, you hate load management. Fans don't necessarily love the, players creating their own super teams. But, I mean, where's Brooklyn going? They barely played together. Kyrie's just leaving to take, for personal reasons, just taking time off.
Harden's not even playing.
Harden's not playing.
A bulk of the season. Durant, what'd they play, seven games together this unit?
They'd make a mockery of the NBA regular season if they win the chip this year. A mockery.
Especially if they win it easily.
With a rookie head coach.
And easily. Well, and maybe without Harden for an extended period of time.
Easily. They were up 49 against Milwaukee. 49.
With backups in, Rico.
Yes.
With backups
Reggie in. Perry making it rain. That's too. I think Adam Silver's got to be shaking his head like, this is not great for us right now.
No, it's not great. All right, not great for baseball. We know what's going on with the sticky stuff. Garrett Cole spoke yesterday. The first soundbite we heard was just mind-numbing. Here's the response to one Josh Donaldson, who called him out for using this stuff.
It's undesirable, but I understand this topic is important, to everybody that cares about the game. And in regards to Josh specifically, I mean, I kind of felt it was a bit of low-hanging fruit, but he's entitled to his opinion and, to voice his opinion. I have issues, not issues. I just have other things that I need to, keep my focus on. So respectfully, I can't worry about that type of stuff. But I would say that, as a member of the executive council, in the union, and part of my job, part of my role there is to facilitate communication about really all things involving the game. And I'm open to doing that. That's part of my role. So if anyone has a concern regarding anything, we're always available to reach out and talk to if there needs to be some clarification and whatnot.
I'm just going to throw this title out there that I'm a part of the union, makes it seem like I'm above reproach. Let's do that.
Yeah. If anybody has any issues with anything I'm doing, of course, the door is open. It's an open door policy.
He's a big part of facilitating communication, Dave, but when asked a question directly about using Spider Tack, he has to take a 5-second pause.
What's the low hanging fruit? That it's just
the low hanging fruit.
I thought
the same thing. The low hanging fruit is that everyone knows that he's been, for lack of a better term, legally cheating, I guess.
Oh, I told you. I mean, he doesn't hide it, though. I mean, it was just a question of what he was using. I mean, I told you this a month ago, that just watch him when he pitches. He goes into his glove. and whatever the sticky stuff in his glove is what he's been using. I'm telling you what, if I was Gerrit Cole, then now I don't think he's this type of guy, but tonight, the first pitch I threw to Josh Donaldson would be behind his head, and I would look at him and point to my fingers like, I can't grip the baseball. It's slippery.
Do you know how bad that would look for him?
Yeah, he can't do that, Rico.
I know he
can't
won't.
Do that.
I'm just telling you what I would
that.
Do.
He can't do that.
That's what I would do.
I mean, if you're Gerrit Cole, you already won, man. You already won. You got the contract that you were looking for, the financial security. Nobody wants to be looked at as a cheater, but I mean, everybody is going to cast aspersions on the pitchers in the game right now because it's assumed that everybody's doing it until proven otherwise.
But he's the pitcher, though. This is so much like the steroid era where it was like the best guys are the ones that everyone focused on. Well, yeah, because no one's sitting here talking, too. Maybe in L.A. they're doing it. But, I mean, did you see Trevor Bauer's last start?
Yep.
What I mean, his was worse. His RPMs were down less. Were down worse than Cole's were. And he's like, it was a hot day out. Come on, man, it's a hot day. Let's stop. Like that's the thing, though. I mean, I think that's why he went on the defensive. Like, I mean, the answer you had, Chris, at the beginning of the show was the answer that you give. But I think he's of the mindset like, I'm going to be the face of this thing when everyone else is doing it. But because now I'm the best at what I'm doing right now. I'm making this kind of money, and I'm going to be the one that's the poster child for this thing.
Yeah, but isn't that understandable why he would be? He's making $300 million. He signed a monster deal with the biggest, baddest team in all of Major League Baseball. He's been almost unhittable for the last number of years. I mean, you understand why he's the poster child for this.
And he's been the one that's been named the most. I get it. I understand it. But I would imagine that Gerrit Cole probably doesn't. Like, Gerrit Cole is probably saying to himself, like, okay, we're going to choose me to be the guy? Like, I'm going to be the fall guy for this thing?
Yeah, but he can't win, Rico. Like, it doesn't make any sense to be defensive because it's one of those things that you can't defend. You can't defend your position. Like, if you know you're using this stuff, even if everybody else around the sport is using it, you can't blame everybody else for you making a decision to go along with it as well. You can't do it. So don't try to defend the indefensible. It's not going to work for you. That's why I said you got to focus on what Major League Baseball and the Players Association are going to do about it moving forward.
I think what he was doing, and again, I mean, it was not a great look for him, but what I think he was trying to do was, so everything that happens from, and it looks like maybe it's June 14th when they're going to start enforcing this thing. So like everything moving forward from June 14th on, that will be looked at as if you get caught, now you're cheating. Mm-hmm. As opposed to everything that happened before, where it was kind of the wink, wink, nod, nod that we're all using stuff. Because now you take, I mean, if this is the case, like, okay, if you use sticky stuff, you're a cheater. Now you think, now you've just pretty much, his entire career is like, just you
it's
throw it
sham,
out the window.
Is what it is. That's what people would say. Here is Jeff Passan saying this is just, it's a bad, this is from SVP last night, a bad look for the Yankee star pitcher.
If you're asked a yes, no question and you don't say no, then you're saying yes. When you use sticky stuff, whether it's sunscreen and rosin combined or spider tack, which Gerrit Cole was asked about, what it does is it allows you to generate more spin on your fastball and your other pitches. But with the fastball, it's particularly important because the more your fastball spins, the less gravity is pulling it down. So when you hear about a rising fastball, that just means the ball is spinning faster and staying up higher. And the number 10 culprit from research from Mike Bonzani at ESPN, whose fastball spin rate has gone down since June 3rd, was Gerrit Cole. He had not in the last 3 years averaged under 2,500 RPMs on his fastball in an individual game. On his June 3rd start, 2,436.
I mean, it's not a good look, and he's right. You're asked a yes, no question. If you don't say no, everyone's going to assume that you've been doing it, and that's what we do, and everyone did prior to that, and now he's incriminated himself even more after that conversation yesterday.
Yeah, but it's amazing to me, though, too. I mean, it's okay. You know, Gerrit Cole will be the face of this thing, right? Because he's been the one mentioned, and his answer was horrendous and everything else. But when you look at, like, you start talking about spin rates and everything else, and we're trying to look at this thing this morning before the show, and it's all these different numbers, and it's like a different language. But well, I mean, what I said yesterday and what you heard Jeff Passan say was the biggest thing, right? What pitchers are trying to do now because of the swing path of the hitters with the launch angle is that high inside fastball you can't get to. So if I throw my fastball and it's not spinning, you know, 2,500 plus, at some point, like he said, gravity is going to take hold, and that thing's going to come down, which makes it easier to hit. like Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer that have this kind of spin. That ball stays up, and like you said, it looks like it rides up in the zone, which is virtually impossible for hitters to hit. But when you look at like Trevor Bauer's spin rate, I know Gerrit Cole is going to be the face of this thing. Like Trevor Bauer, I'm sitting here reading an article before his last start where his spin rate went down. His average spin rate of his four-seam fastball is 2,800 RPMs. 2,800.
Wow.
That's insane. So what, I mean, that, you don't think he's using stuff? Like he's just naturally, like he's just smarter than everyone else and just
hasn't
naturally
he
can
out
spin
in the
a ball.
Past but, and said he uses stuff?
No, he's the one that wants everyone. He's the one that's preaching that he wants everyone playing clean. Everyone on an even playing field. Either you crack down on it or you just let everyone just use whatever the hell they want.
Well, they're going to crack down on it now and we're going to see.
And they're going to crack down on it because baseball, again, is their own worst enemy. Like they create all these problems and they make these changes, not realizing all the unintended consequences that come with them.
And they put the blame on the players.
Exactly right.
Yes,
that's what pisses me off if I'm a player, is now I'm going to be the one. All the things that I've worked for my entire career are now going to go up in smoke because you've decided now that this is a problem.
But I think that the players are agitated by the fact that this is taking place and they can't hit the baseball.
Well, because you're taking money out of their pocket,
because
they haven't adapted yet. Mike Trout adapted. There are certain guys that have adapted that spent the entire offseason learning how to hit the high fastball and now can hit it and are having success doing it. Chris Bryant, one of those guys that spent the entire offseason trying to figure out how to hit it, and he's hitting it. But guys can't now because they haven't adapted yet. So now you're taking money out of my pocket. You're having all the success. You're making tons of money. I'm not. So now it's a problem.
That's
and
right.
Baseball's boring, so it's a problem for baseball. And now midway, midstream, they're going to start changing the rules, and I'm going to be the cheater, and baseball's going to get off scot-free.
Now, for those of you that say, it's not a big deal. This is overblown. Thomas Nito and James McCann say the exact opposite. There's been accusations. Is DeGrom using anything? Nito comes out and says, I promise you, this is on Twitter, I promise you he doesn't use anything. If he did, they'd be lucky to even foul tip the ball. So he's saying if this guy used anything, nobody would even touch the ball. And McCann doubles up with that and says, I can confirm the GOAT is substance free. Can you imagine if he actually did use something? So they're telling you that if you use something, it helps you tremendously because you wouldn't even touch DeGrom if he used anything.
That would be unbelievable if all of these pitches around Major League Baseball fall off and Jacob DeGrom stays exactly where he's at.
It would make him more dominant.
I'm telling you. The legend of Jacob DeGrom would just continue to grow.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, it's saying what you just said. Well, if it's not to your advantage, why would you use it? You wouldn't.
Of course not. You don't use it for fun.
Dave, I spoke to someone yesterday that told me that they actually will sit there, right, with all the machines that then you'll track your spin rate and everything else and try all sorts of different stuff to see what gives them the most spin. Like that's some of the things that they'll do during the offseason. Like how about if I try this? No, this one's not as good as this one. Like
I'm sure.
That's how
they're
advanced.
Probably like Dr. Jekyll in the lab trying to figure out, rosin in this, rosin in that. Do I get Vaseline in here? Do I get a little, suntan lotion? What else can I use? I'm sure that they're mixing, matching like an evil chemist during the offseason.
But that's what happens when you don't have hard, fast rules. I mean, that's what athletes, when you start talking about this amount of money, that's what they're going to spend that's what they're going to do. They're going to look for little advantages. It's just exactly why Tom Brady and the Patriots, I still think it was Belichick, started deflating footballs. But that had been going on for how long, too? They weren't even, how they were measuring PSI wasn't even, they weren't even paying attention to it.
Nope.
Till all of a sudden it became a big deal. I mean,
a big deal because somebody took it to the extreme, right? You're talking about the Patriots taking it to the way extreme. Like, teams around football have been doing that for years, but the Patriots did it more than anybody or at a level that nobody else had previously done
it. They were having the most success.
Exactly. And I think now we're starting to see that with Major League Baseball in these pitchers with the RPMs. Like, okay, before it was happening, but then they just took it. They just improved on the science or they improved on how they're cheating by taking it to this extreme.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you put guys in a situation where if this is something that you look around and you see the advantages of doing it and you got pitching coach telling you either you get on board or you're going to fall behind and you start doing it and you're having success doing it and it's never been a problem.
Why would you not? You guys would have done the same thing, no? If it's a gray area and it's not going to damage your body if you use this, Rick, you wouldn't have used this stuff? Come on.
Of course I would use it. Dave, yeah. Dave, I played with guys that would spend hours and hours and hours looking at rule books to see what they could add to their goalie equipment to make themselves bigger.
But isn't that smart?
Oh, yeah, it's smart until all of a sudden it's not, and people have a problem with it, and now they're outraged, and now you're a cheater. Which I think is the problem that Gerrit Cole is having with it right now.
I think the biggest issue is going to be, what happens if Gerrit Cole becomes just a pitcher? What happens if Gerrit Cole goes from being, oh my God, we got Cole on the mound tonight, we're dominant, we're going to be phenomenal, we're going to win this game, to you're locked into a long-term deal with a guy who's, he's just a pretty good pitcher.
After being locked into a guy that's supposed to be a big part of our offense, but can't stay healthy enough to be on the field, and he can only be your designated hitter. Those would be two awful contracts for the Yankees moving forward. Awful.
This is a humongous start for him tonight. Humongous.
Huge. Now, do you think he uses anything tonight, or do you think he goes cold turkey?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I would probably use a little bit of something, but you don't want to get caught doing it. I mean, there are going to be people, I mean, John Boy, you name it, that are going to be focused on...
Oh, they're going to zoom in on every inch of him tonight, yep.
Has Major League Baseball said how they're going to enforce the new rule with people not putting stuff on the baseball? How are they going to go about doing it, Dave?
So how are they going to check?
Yeah.
I think they said they're going to check 8 to 10 times, and Buster only is going to join us at 7:15, and he'll give us a real breakdown, but 8 to 10 times a game.
So is it going to be the umpires doing it, or is there going to be a designated official from Major League Baseball?
My understanding is the umpire, as the pitches are coming off at you know, just differing times during the game, not during the middle of an inning. When the inning is done and you're walking off the mound, you will be checked 8 to 10 times a game, each team.
I mean, are we talking about they're going to pat him down? Like, what are we? Is it Enrico Palazzo from the Naked Gun?
No, they'll probably grab his grab his glove. No, they'll grab his glove. Look inside his glove, probably. They'll check his hat. I don't think it's going to be a pat-down. It's not talking about you're not scraping the ball up. I mean, most of the guys touch. I mean, it's either their hat. Guys have stuff in their hair. Like, have you ever seen guys go to their hair?
They'll give you the once-over. He's going to join us later, but here is Buster yesterday on Greeny's show. How will MLB police the foreign substance users?
A memo is going to go out to teams later this week, and after that, Major League Baseball will officially order umpires to do checks of pitchers. And from what I understand, they're going to do random checks. It's going to be like DUI checkpoints, 8 to 10 a game, probably 2 for each starting pitcher. Because they're concerned about the effect on pace of play, a lot of those checks are going to happen as pitchers leave the mound at the end of a half inning or an outing, where an umpire is going to intercept them and say, show me your hand, show me your glove, show me your belt.
This should go. I mean, I can't see any issues with this at all.
Yeah, this will be great.
No, none. Zero.
Now, what happens if you have it? What happens if you're trying to sneak it, you're found out that you have it, and now you're busted?
You got to get tossed.
Are you thrown out of the game?
You have to, Dave. Otherwise, the rule you have in place has no teeth. You have to toss that guy.
Well, what? If they find it on your belt and they say, go change your belt, and they don't kick you out of the game? Like, so you're going to just stop using it? I got to change my belt once in a while. No big deal.
Right. After every inning, I change. I don't know. We laugh at it, but would it surprise you if Major League Baseball came out and said, you know what, you'll be fine, but you won't be thrown out of the game? I don't think anything would be surprising at this point.
Well, if you don't throw them out of the game, then you're not serious about the rule that you're putting in place. That's the way I see it. Like, it's got to be more than just imposing some slap on the wrist fine. It's got to be something where players feel like, okay, this is serious enough that it's a deterrent for me using this stuff moving forward.
Can you believe, though? I mean, I love baseball. I mean, it's probably my favorite sport. As much as I love hockey, baseball is probably my favorite sport. Like, just think of where we're at right now. Like, with the sticky stuff now, they changed the baseball again this season. We got conversations about moving the mound back, making the bases bigger so guys will stay. Like, I mean, baseball is a mess right now.
It is a mess.
They can't get, I mean, you got replay for what reason? I don't know. Watching the first inning of the Mets game, that's a joke. Oh, you know what? And then the pace of play. So we're going to wait. So if we know going into the inning, we think you're using the sticky stuff, and you plow through that inning.
You can pitch the inning, and then we'll check you.
Because we don't want to screw with the pace of play. But right. when you come in, then we'll give you the pat down. Then we'll check you out.
Yeah. It really is in quite the place at the moment, Major League Baseball.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.